This is Neil Fitzsimon of Fitzsimon & Brogan, and you're listening to Ludini's Rock and Roll Circus.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, but you can call me Ludini. That's what everybody does. We're all friends here anyways. And today we're going to be talking to Neil Fitzsimon from... Fitzsimon and Bro. You're going to help me with his name. That's a mouthful. Fitzsimon and Brogan. And am I saying that right, Neil? Is it Fitzsimon? Fitzsimon.
Oh, it's Fitzsimon and Brogan.
Fitzsimon and Brogan. Okay. So I got Neil on from Fitzsimon and Brogan. I usually straighten that out before we start the recording, but today. So
right.
You guys are getting it raw today. So.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Fitzsimon and Brogan. And so we're going to be talking to those to Neil here in a few minutes. They've got some really, really cool music. We'll talk about it in a minute. You guys are really going to dig this. But anyway, so you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Please check there often for more great artist stories like you're going to hear here in a minute, as well as different music podcasts that we do. We are adding more all the time, so there's lots of good things coming up in the future. Two bits of things I want you to do when you go there. When you check out you're listening to the music podcast and you hear the ones that you like, the bands that you like, share them. Hit that share button. When you do that, that helps bands like Fitzsimon and Brogan and all the different bands that we've had on here. That helps to promote them, because in today's world, it's like sharing around. As you like a band or an artist and you share, chances are your friends are going to like them too. So this is a way for them to grow their fan base and for you to show how awesome you are and how in the know you are about really cool music. So I would appreciate if you could just share the one. If you listen to one, you like it, share it. The other thing is, as well as we have a little store there with some cool Ludini merchandise, T-shirts and whatnot. So go ahead and pick yourself up something for. And while you're at it, get yourself something for the wife and the kids and, you know, your grandmother and everything too. It's all kind of cool T-shirts and mugs and all kind of fun stuff there. So that's all can be found at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. As I was saying, and thank you, Neil, for coming on and correcting me on the name of the band.
Right.
We got Neil Fitzsimon on from Fitzsimon and Brogan, and we're just going to – they're based in London, and great. They're calling it pure pop for now people. What it really sounds like to me is just like great guitar-driven, like pop, catchy songs with a little bit of that rock bite to it. It's very, very cool stuff, and I can't wait to play it for you guys. But right now, we're going to jump in. Neil, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello there.
So where are you right now? Are you in London right now?
We've actually moved from London now to a small island just off the coast of England called the Isle of Wight, which is about 5 miles off the coast.
Okay. All right. Some great rock concerts have been filmed on the Isle of Wight, you know. Yeah. So those of you that know your rock history, you know, it's a cool place. Let's take us back. Take me back in time a little bit here. So how did you get bit by the music bug in the first place? You know, you're in bands, you're promoting music all around the world. So, I mean, that isn't just a passing interest in music.
Oh, no. It was really David Bowie. That got me into it, and especially Mick Ronson. I was fascinated by him, and I don't think Bowie was ever quite as good when he split the spiders up, to be quite honest. And when I was growing up, I was always interested in the songwriters, you know, the people behind the scenes that were writing this stuff. I'm a big fan of the Beatles as well, and it was through that type of stuff that I got into music.
You are also okay. So now we're gonna bond over Mick Ronson. I'm a huge Mick Ronson fan. I totally agree with you. I think that he brought something to what Bowie did that like Bowie really needed and never really quite got. I mean, he's had other great guitar players over the years, including Stevie Ray Vaughan, of course. But there was something about that. You know, those two guys made magic.
Yeah, I think they did, and I think. I read, you know, when Bowie passed away, that somebody had said, without Mick Ronson, we would still have had David Bowie, but it wouldn't have been the same David Bowie that we would have had. And even, as you said, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Earl Slick, they're great guitar players, but I don't know. I think he defined that Bowie sound, the classic Ziggy Stardust, and those albums that preceded it and followed it, you know. And I think it was, I think Bowie split the band up too quickly. They would have been good together playing on Diamond Dogs, which I loved, but I think it would have been better with the Spiders, to be quite honest.
Well, Bowie was one of those guys who was like, always, let's do the next thing. I want to do the next thing.
Yeah.
Ready to do the next thing, you know. And that was good. And people that love that are like, oh, what's Bowie going to do next? People that kind of bought into that loved that. And I think a lot of us do. I think you probably did, too. I mean, I kind of look forward to that, too. But there were those times where you go like, oh, really? You couldn't do just a little bit more of that?
Yeah.
Because we loved it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I love the soul stuff he did, like Young Americans. But I wasn't too keen on the Berlin stuff, you know, like apart from Heroes, obviously. I love that. But when it started getting a bit experimental with Brian Eno, that's when I like... you know, like tripped out a little bit from it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, he was always capable of coming back with stuff like Ashes to Ashes, you know, that you just thought, my God, you know, it was unbelievable. But still, you know, I'm a massive fan of Mick Ronson. You know, I'm actually in his fan club. You know what I mean? I bought the T-shirt as well. Yeah.
This is a great documentary. You've probably seen it.
I have,
It's really great. So I take it you're a guitar player? Is that your primary instrument? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, guitar. Yeah, and I write on guitar as well. You know, like which sometimes can be a bit of a drawback. But I don't know. I mean, I think you could tell the difference between a song that's been written on guitar and one that's been on piano. Like if you know, going back to Bowie, if you take like Life on Mars, that was definitely written on a piano. You could tell that. But that's my instrument, the guitar. And that's all. I believe in writing in the old way. I don't write in a box, you know, like using different aids, like on the computer or anything. It's a guitar with a blank piece of paper, to be quite honest, and then just like keep going at it until something comes along.
So something comes at you that you go like, ah, that's something I could do something with. I mean, it's a process, right? You're kind of beating around on it for a while trying to like find something, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what happens quite a lot of the time. I mean, I shouldn't admit to this, but I think like all songwriters are a little bit like magpies. If I sit there with like a little recorder, and if I hear like a snippet of music, even if it's in a background piece of music, and I think, oh, well, that sounds great, I will then record that and then use that as a starting point for an idea. You know, anything that helps along the way. You know, I have a rule that if I've got nothing in 45 minutes, I give up. And then come back to it later.
Well, that's probably good. I mean, we all have that like process, you know, that we have to kind of go, you know. And there is a point at where it's like you're, you know. Here's what happens with, I think, some of us too. And maybe you could talk about this a little bit. At what point are you just screwing around? And at what point are you like working? Like, how do you differentiate that? Because, like, as guitar players, it's very easy to sit down and start playing like your favorite Mick Ronson licks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. But what I do is like, there are certain times, as you say, when I just sit down like and like start playing like Hang On To Yourself and all the Ziggy stuff, and then I'll like play something else, and you think, God, that sounds really good, you know. And you just stumble over a riff. I mean, I've got one now. I'm working on a new song now, and I realised that I have slightly modified the riff to that Bon Jovi song, Something for the Pain.
Okay.
You know, I listened to that, and I've got by slightly modifying it, I think I've got a new song out of that as well. So yeah, it's that type of thing, really.
Yeah, something always comes. I mean, you know, you look at the early rockers. You know, they were pulling from blues and you know folk music and stuff like that. And so, I mean, it's all sort of like in the ether there. You know, and as a musician, you're totally absorbing stuff constantly.
Oh yeah, I do. I mean, you know, my influences when I first started writing songs, I tried to be either David Bowie or Brian Ferry. Then I realised I wasn't technically quite good enough.
Okay.
And no disrespect. And then I discovered Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
And I just listened to those songs, which are so brilliant. You know, like 3 minutes, everything in those 3 minutes worked. And then I started trying to write in that style. And then I found I was progressing after that, rather than trying to write another like Life on Mars or something, which was totally beyond me. But to write those little, you know, which is really, when you think about it, they're the most difficult ones to write, the catchy 3-minute pop song, really. That is an art, and I listen to people like him and Eddie Cochran and people like that, and of course I inevitably ended up with the Beatles.
Let's talk a little bit about because you've been involved in some projects over the years, and let's kind of like get the sort of like Reader's Digest version of the sort of history up to Fitzsimon and Brogan.
Right. Okay. Well, I met Trudy. That's B. Her nickname's B. We were both in a band called Pretty Blue Gun, and we got signed to an independent label a few years ago, which was great. We came in at the tail end of where like record companies were prepared to spend quite a bit of money on new bands, and they threw a lot of money at all their acts on the label, but unfortunately they threw too much, and by the time our album came out they were having financial problems. So it was it was great, and our stuff started getting national airplay, but it was just the internet wasn't so big then, and unless you got those records into the shops and onto the radio, then nobody could really actually buy them. So and since then really we've been more like a studio basing. I've got about 3 publishing deals now, one in the States, one in France, and one in the UK. So we've been doing stuff like film and TV, but we were both in Pretty Blue Gun, and we toured all around the country and did all the gig circuit. I don't know if you remember a film called The Commitments.
Oh, yeah, of course, great movie.
Yeah, we toured with them, which was
cool.
Which was an experience, you know, like a gang of mad Irishmen and everything. But no, it was great, and it was, you know, but personally, I wouldn't, you know, I'm glad the gigging days are done with now, really, because it can be a hard slog, and everything. And I think anyone who's under the misconception that being in the band is easy needs to go on tour for about a month, and I think they would change their mind after that. Cause
yeah, it's hard work.
I mean, at the end of it, I can't remember being as tired as what I felt after the end of that. And it's a weird feeling, because when you come off the tour, that's when you start. You know, you can't wait for the tour to finish in a way, and then when it does finish, you wonder, your life goes back to being very ordinary again.
So
we've done all that, but so we've done stuff for film and TV and various other projects. We've had a film in an American sci-fi, an independent film, and we've done bits and pieces. Now we're trying to move into the area of writing for other people as well.
Yeah, well, the songwriting, and this is something we're going to hear here in a second, the songwriting, man, is really solid.
You mentioned
Buddy Holly, and when you said that, I had a kind of aha moment, because there is that vibe, that very like beautifully simplistic kind of values that are in your writing that just reach you like instantly. You hear the first couple of chords or whatever, and like, I get this, you know. I'm with this, you know. So let's go ahead, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Fitzsimon and Brogan here in a minute, but let's listen to the single that they're going to be pushing here, called Big Blue World. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. So guys, crank this up. This is really good music. Big Blue World, Fitzsimon and Brogan on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Follow, we need love. lights went out, the night closed in. Jack was only dreaming. But once he held her in his arms, it seemed so appealing. Don't be shy, tell him why I've got this feeling. You need love.
Okay, very cool. And I'm assuming this is one of those tracks where you sat down with the guitar and you guys how do you work together? How does B come in and work with you?
Well, she's the vocalist,
right,
on all these tracks, and that's how we met. She actually answered an advert in the paper. Okay. when we were looking around for girl singers to work with us, and when I phoned her and said, you know, I really like your voice and everything like that, she said, no, I would like my take back actually, because I'm too nervous. And I said, I said you're being ridiculous. So I said, look, what I can do before the actual day of the auditions, come round to see me and we can work on this song, because I think, you know, it'd be really good for you to get into this band. And that's what she did. And then out of about 20 singers, she was the one that we chose to work with. And then a few years later, we started going out with each other, and we've been together since. Aww. That so, but first, yeah, it, and the way it works is basically I come up with the song, write the song, and then I'll play it to B, and then we'll discuss which, you know, what type of arrangement we want to do on it, or if there are bits that you can add to it. Because you know, the first thing I think when you write a song, you shouldn't just take that as being that's it. There's always bits you can, you know, you'll go back about a week later and think, Christ, I could do that. Yeah. With that now, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, we could really improve.
Yeah.
On that. So she works on, and I've got to say, she does, because we've got our own studio now at home. She does all the engineering, because I am totally useless technically.
Well, so this sounds like a really good match.
it is, yeah. I mean, she's really like learned how to do all this stuff. And then it's in our our blurb that we Pat Collier, who produced our two albums, he still mixes our stuff. He produced the Katrina and the Waves.
Right.
Track,
okay. Yeah.
Walking on Sunshine. Yeah. So that's it, really. Like the basic, I'll play it to her, the song and everything, just when I've got the idea, with no lyrics really, just like, you know, like hum the tune along to. Mm. And like that, then we'll start working it. And then once she's learned it, she'll say, perhaps we could put that in there and everything, and things that I most really wouldn't have thought of first time round. And yeah, we just generally build it from there. Then I'll get onto the lyrics, and then it's the process of, you know, like, and I play the bass on it and everything as well, and do all that type of stuff. Trudy plays the keyboards as well, so she does that stuff on it. And yeah, so it is a good, I mean, she's more technical than me, and I just sit there and just on the days of the recording I just become the guitar player.
That's nice. I believe me. Yeah. I understand that. What now, are you guys programming drums, or are you working with different drummers?
They're programmed.
Program, yeah.
But on those albums they're like, that's a live drummer, session drummers that we had.
Okay. Are you talking about the Pretty Blue Gun records, or these records you have now?
The records that you got there—that was a session drummer. Okay. On that.
Okay. Cool. It sounds great, because if that was programmed drums, it sounds great.
It'll be difficult.
And there's a point of diminishing returns too with programmed drums. You know, like, it's cool, but then sometimes, like, how much, unless somebody, like, that's what they do, they're passionate about programming drums. Most people find it a pain in the ass. It's like, just get a drummer, just record the thing.
Yeah, well, that's right. And also, I think, as a guitar player, when you first ever play with a drum machine, it is a shock because it's it's so relentless and unremitting.
Yep.
It's like, you know, like when you're playing with a live drum and you're doing a gig, everyone gets a bit excited, you speed up and everyone goes with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then it'll slow down, you pull it back. But with a drum machine, that is it. I mean, it's set in stone, isn't it? You just, you know, the dreaded click track as well. The first time I played to one of those, it was, God dear. It really was. It's just like, you know, you feel like telling it to shut up as it's going on. But, yeah, I mean, I much prefer if we could actually work in a studio with a live drum, but it's so difficult
now,
and especially with our setup. But I mean, if we went to a bigger studio, then I would really want to work with a live drummer again.
So what is the next? Because you guys are kind of internet based, I guess, since you're not really touring.
Yeah.
What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for you guys? What's coming up? What are you working on? What are we going to hear?
Yeah, well, we've got a single coming out on June the 15th that's being released by WCPL online. That's Big Blue World. And on the 22nd of June, the album Big Blue World is being released by WTPL as well. And then they plan to release a second album of ours in October, which is called The Girl Who Shouted Love at the Heart of the World. So, so we're quite busy and we're working on new material now. We have got another album out there that's available online that we did with WTPL called His Latest Squeeze. Which did quite well in France. One of the tracks got to, I think, number 3 in quite one of the big French download charts. So that is out there at the moment, that album. But so we're excited about having these albums coming out. And I've actually managed now to link my publishers up together, because you find with publishers, some do the online stuff, some just pitch to radio and TV. Yeah. So I've got two of them actually working together now, so I don't have to make a choice. Do I give this song to be pitched, or do I give that song to be released? So it's quite a good situation we're in at the moment.
Awesome. Well, I hope that you guys keep, you know, even if you're putting out music or you're, you know, working primarily on the publishing side of it to get, you know, be songwriters, I really hope that you guys keep putting out your own records, because sounds really good. I really like, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. I mean, there's lot of bands that are, you know, there's so many bands that are like really like, how do I want to put this? This is very sort of homogenized, pop, dancey kind of stuff, and that's cool. And I, you know, that's their thing. But it's just so good to hear like great pop, catchy tunes with that guitar in there. And it is, and there is a sort of like Katrina in the Waves kind of like little vibe.
Yeah,
you know, I could kind of hear that a little bit in there. But that's the same. That is going back to that type of songwriting, that sort of Buddy Holly esque songwriting. So, where can people find you on the internet?
Our website is now being built for us as we speak, because we finally we had a website before, but now we're getting a new one done. We're on all the Spotify, we're on iTunes, all the outlets you can get our stuff
Fitzsimon and Brogan, correct?
Yeah, Fitzsimon and Brogan. Yeah, it's all out there on all the different outlets. Yeah. The album, I think, His Latest Squeeze, is available on Amazon. So I mean, we're right across the board, really, and hopefully by like June the 15th, you know, when the single comes out, we're now with MTS Management as well, who are, you know, like really doing like good work for us, and they're getting our name out there. And there is also a video of one of our tracks, The Cutest and the Cruelest, which is on YouTube, Fitzsimon and Brogan, so people can find us there.
Yeah, that's a cool track too. I listened to that as well, because I always try to search a little bit on YouTube for the band, so I can see, was there, can I, you know, is there any videos?
Yeah,
and it's a very well produced video. It's cool. It looks cool. It's a cool song. So you guys can check that out too. But hey, Neil, thanks so much, man, for hanging out with us today. I'm gonna wrap up the podcast. I need to do a little business with you afterwards. So if you got a minute to hang out, I just need you for a minute. You got a minute?
Yeah, that's fine.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, guys, Fitzsimon and Brogan is the band, and you can find them, Fitzsimon and Brogan, at all the places, like the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams and everything like that. Great track, Big Blue World. I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of the album soon. So you can check out all that online, and you can get them. That's on their Spotify and iTunes and all the places. So check them out, Fitzsimon and Brogan. Wow, what a fun podcast. And hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to get more great podcasts, great artist stories like this one. Don't forget to share the ones that you love, because that's how we promote the bands. And don't forget to just reach on over in that upper right-hand corner and hit that store of ours and pick yourself up a little something-something. I know you'll really like it. Guys, it's been a lot of fun today, and I really appreciate all the great music that we've been hearing. It's just, you know, it's no BS, man. There's, you know, everybody's crying the blues about, you know, where's the good music? Well, you got to do a little digging, but when you find places like the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus and places like that on the internet, that's where you know. That's where you can find the truly great artists that are making really, really great music. So we really appreciate the fans out there, and we'll catch you guys all next time on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.